And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions in the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are music to your ears.
Because we haven't got any proper music, because our producer extraordinaire, Shecky Feldstein, is away this week. He is off cavorting and hopefully getting some better sponsors than he's gotten this last time.
Yeah, you know, it hurts, it pains us to actually realize we actually need him for
something. I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't like it.
I hate it.
I don't like it one bit.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, we are here to talk about comics this week, and we are here to talk about championing the local...
Championing
the local comic book shop. A lot of stuff going on in comics these past few days, and we weren't here last week, so we got at least one comic I want to talk about from last week that came out that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
We have a lot to catch up on.
We do.
That's
we do.
What you're trying to
yeah.
say.
Well, you know what? You put it so succinctly.
Succinctly.
I've always had trouble saying that word.
I could tell.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, let's get right down to it. I do want to talk about New This Week. And New This Week is brought to you by
producers.
If you know of a good one who won't leave us every week,
send them our way.
Send them our way.
Yes.
All right, listen.
All right.
First one I want to talk about here is Amazing X-Men number 7. And I'll tell you, the whole reason I picked this book is because of the cover. I'm a child of the 80s, and there used to be a show called Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and it had Spider-Man, Firestar, and Iceman in it. And this cover has Spider-Man, Firestar, and Iceman on it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
remember that first one had that blue cover?
Yeah.
Spider-Man and His Amazing
Friends. I think there was only one comic that was ever made, actually, that said Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Because I think Firestar was a creation of the TV, right?
Right.
It didn't exist before television. It didn't exist before television. It didn't exist... in comics, the character didn't.
Yeah.
Before she was made up for the series, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really like this. This is, of course, by Catherine Immonen and penciled by Paco Medina. And I just, you know what?
Paco Medina.
No, it's not Funky Cole Medina.
Oh.
It just really harkens back to those old days where, you know, you got Spider-Man and Firestar and Iceman. It's just a fun read, for sure.
Yeah.
Fun read.
See, Firestar, and Iceman.
Yeah.
They don't really mix.
No.
Think about it.
Well, right? It's very true.
You know, you get a puddle afterwards.
Very true. Yeah. Very, very true.
I'm like you, Chris. I remember that Amazing Friends things, and then when I saw this cover, it reminded me of that, too.
It's fun.
Which is cool,
yeah.
Right? Amazing, though. Amazing. I still can't get over Amazing X-Men. I don't know. Guys our age,
it's
when
hard.
You see Amazing in front of a comic book, it has to be Spider-Man. That's dumb, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's
it's
conditioning.
It is.
Over decades.
It is.
That's your flagship title of you know, the biggest comic producer in comics.
That's...
And that's the go-to title for collectors. And now you give it to somebody else.
But that's also like...
It's wrong. What it is.
But that's also like... You know, they've got Uncanny Avengers, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's another one. I have trouble getting wrapping my head around it because it's been Uncanny X-Men for so long, right?
Yeah, it's messing with the old guys.
It is.
To try to impress the new guys.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good point.
All right, listen, Amazing X-Men number 7 is available at your local comic book shop today, so please head in and check that out.
That's right. All right, now the next one, this one also came out this week. This is, you know what? This is... When are they going to stop trying? Magnus Robot Fighter, number 3.
Mm.
You know what? You know, I just don't get it.
It got to number 3?
So far.
Wow.
By Dynamite Entertainment. You know, I like the fact that it actually has a little gold key thing, you know, imprint on it on the side there.
Yeah.
But you know what? Give it up already. They've tried Magnus Robot Fighter so many times. And I guess, you know, it lasts a few... issues, and then people are always like, oh, maybe this is gonna be one that's great.
Yeah, I don't know anything about like legalities and stuff like this, but is it that somebody has Magnus and then they have to actually do stuff
could
with
be
it
maybe
every now
yeah,
and then
maybe
to keep
it's,
it going?
Maybe it's like that Spider-Man clause for Sony Pictures,
right.
You know,
I don't know, but because I'm with you otherwise,
yeah,
right? It's like, okay, It didn't work the four times previous.
Yeah.
What makes us think it's going to work?
Exactly.
Four times now. You know, and that's like a weird thing in comics, Chris. When you think, when you really, really think about it, all, you know, there are way more failed comic properties than there are successful ones.
Oh, absolutely.
But because they're in the canon of comics,
yeah,
people feel the need or maybe have the optimism that they can once again be popular.
Resurrect them.
Yeah. And I don't know.
But you know, like,
I don't know. Like, obviously, it's not working, but.
But I think it works in stops and starts. Like, I remember Turok Dinosaur Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Acclaim once had, you know, it was a video game company, and they had the rights to Turok, and they made a video game. And it was actually a very popular video game back in the day, you know. So maybe they're hoping that maybe one of these video game companies or movie rights is going to come out with a Magnus Robot Fighter.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and then they'll be cashing in.
Is there an example of a property that waned that once again waxed? Now, hear me out.
Okay.
I'm not talking about Iron Man that went from A-list to C-list, maybe B-minus list, back up to A-list. Because Iron Man never waned. He just kind of was below the radar, but it was always there. And then, you know, that something happened, like the movie. Cap, same thing, right?
Yep.
You can count Cap and Iron Man as the same.
Yeah, I agree.
In the 80s and 90s, they were kind of ho-hum properties. Yep. It was all about the Hulk and Spidey and stuff like that. And then now they're having a resurgence, and they're like A-listers again.
Yeah, that's right.
But they were never D-listers.
No.
Now, Magnus has obviously fallen to the D-lister for a long time.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think. And I can't come up with one. Maybe somebody listening can come up with one. I can't come up with a property from the 40s, 50s, 60s, or even 70s that just tanked after, you know, a 5-10-year run, but has resurrected to prominence now.
Not
just trying again
because
we have the license. But I'm talking about success.
Right.
I can't think of one.
Well, like, you know, Conan was big for a long time.
I don't think Conan ever went out.
I don't know. I mean, there wasn't.
And he's not big again.
Well, I don't know. Geez, that's a great question. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but Star Wars kind of went out for a long time. And then came back.
Star Wars ever went out.
Yeah, kind of. You could not buy any Star Wars merchandise for a long time there. I remember I got excited because I was able to find a company that sold bookmarks.
Okay. Like, All right. Fair enough. But I'm just going to stop you there in the sense that I'm talking about original comic book
properties. Okay, original comic book properties. Mm-hmm.
I can't come up with that. I can't.
I don't. That's a great question.
Yeah.
X-Men's always been popular.
Yeah.
Daredevil kind of gets hot and then cold and hot and then cold, depending
on
who's
writing it.
But
Daredevil never fell to D-list. It's always B-minus, you know, that kind of stuff.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a great question. I mean,
Giant-sized man thing.
Giant-sized man thing. Back at it again, are you? Hey,
listen. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, Magnus
Robofighter number 3 from Dynamite Comics is available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, next up on the Hit Parade, we've got had we had a show last week, I would have loved to have talked about this. We've got the brand new Justice League Canada, and this is number 1 from DC Comics. And it's kind of exciting that this a comic like this comes out.
Love.
Now, this is actually Justice League United, number 1, but they're sort of taking place in Canada, and there's Canadian content in it. So for, you know, us lucky knuckleheads up here in the north, they decided to have an alternative cover that has Justice League Canada on it.
Yeah. I'm looking at the first panel. It's like two characters meeting each other, and the one says, "How's it going, eh?"
Does it take off, you hoser?
Yeah, actually, they're not saying that, but that's exciting. Justice League Canada. A lot of excitement around this. Will it sell in, you know, the United States and around the world?
Probably.
Will it?
Sure, why not?
I don't know.
First of all, I don't
know. Why not then Justice League France?
You know what? I don't know if it's available in other countries besides Canada.
That's I'm sure what, it is.
I don't know. Is it? I don't know the answer to that.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
But then, you know what? There's no reason why maybe the Justice League United people in the comic go to France, and then DC can make a Justice League France.
Yeah. See, here, right? Here, this opens up a can of worms.
Okay. Canadian worms?
I'm not sure.
Canadian Nightcrawlers.
Yes, Nightcrawlers. Okay. My brother-in-law has that company, by the way.
Go on.
Help me out here. DC Comics in the old days.
Yes.
When they wrote their stories, it was understood that it was America.
Right.
Truth, justice, the American way.
Yes, yes.
But it was written as non-America in the sense that the towns were fictional.
Right.
Right? You follow what I'm
yes,
saying?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, so instead of, I mean, but they're always loosely based on America.
But no, but it's not like Spidey or Daredevil.
Yeah, Spidey lives in
Hell's Kitchen, in Greenwich
Soho.
Village, Soho,
right, so,
New York.
But you know, okay, so yeah, so DC, like Gotham,
Gotham
was kind
of like
Chicago. Well, Gotham was kind of like Chicago,
yeah.
Metropolis was kind of like New York City.
Yeah.
So they're loosely based on some
but
places.
Loosely
but
based.
It was always a fictional place.
Right. So my question to you
yes.
is
Canada a fictional place?
No.
Oh.
My question to you is comic books. Comic book superheroes, should they be left in the realm of fictional places?
Right.
Or should we incorporate them into real life and real world cities?
Right.
And which way is the better way? Because the reason I ask this is because, you know, Justice League Canada opens up the can of worms. Like, why not Justice League Germany, Justice League
right,
France,
right,
Justice
right.
League England,
okay.
Justice League, I don't know what.
My answer.
And then, sorry, let me keep going. As I thought of that, I'm going, man, the more countries you add, the lamer this whole project gets.
Okay.
Right? So is it just better to...
Justice League Trinidad.
Yama. No, no, it's Justice League Jamaica.
Justice League Jamaica.
Yama. Yeah, yeah. Hey, there's a crime, but not right now, man. Kind of busy here, man. You know.
Listen, so...
Hey, the superhero, Ganja Man.
Hey,
what's
like
up, man?
You know what? I'm pretty sure somebody out there right now is like, that is a great idea.
Great idea, Ganja Man.
Yeah. Ganja Man.
All right.
Listen, are you going to let me answer your question?
Did I have a question? I can't remember what I asked you.
You're talking about fictional cities.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think? Okay. What's your position on this, Chris?
And go.
Go. 8 seconds.
Listen, here's what I think. From what
all
it's
right.
The title Justice League Canada.
Yes.
You know, they've had Justice League of America. Even in DC, had Justice League of America. Despite
yeah,
the fact that they had fictional cities in their title.
Right.
Right? So Gotham, Metropolis, whatever.
Central City.
Keystone, whatever.
Yeah, Central City.
Central City. What DC should have done is made up fictional cities for Canada for this book, rather than going to, I don't know, Moose Jaw or you know, whatever it happens to be, Toronto or something like that. Why not come up with
Maple Syrupville?
Yeah, Moose Tracks or something
Moose
like
Tracks.
That, or you know, whatever.
Yeah. You or know, Shania Town.
I like that. Yeah.
Won't
good.
You take me to
Shania Town? Won't you take me to Shania Town?
Okay. All right.
Listen. So, anyways, why not make up cities for, you know, Canada? They've made up cities for the United States. Make up cities for Canada.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay.
All
so,
right, listen.
Hold on. What's your position again?
I feel like my position should be my head should be in the toilet right now.
Okay.
The way this show's going.
Hey, listen, Justice League Canada number one. Exciting.
All right.
Came out last week, by the way, but
yes.
It's still definitely
needed to talk about that.
Yeah, at your local comic book shop, still hopefully.
Now all listen, right. Walt. You
yeah.
you we have one more book we have to talk about.
Hey, one more new this week. This comes from I got a nice email. I sent it to you. From New World Comics and a guy named Guy.
Mm.
Hey, Guy.
Big guy.
Sent me this email about an online comic he wanted me to read or review.
Okay.
And because I believe these guys are from, I think they're from Israel.
Hold on. So are you saying we have listeners to our show in Israel?
Of course.
Wow.
Of course. Hey, you know what? Our good friends over at Comics and Vegetables, they're a great shop in Tel Aviv.
That's very true. Yeah,
they are.
Yes.
I think they won an Eisner for the spirit of retailing and stuff. Best name in comics.
Best vegetables.
Best name in comics. I'll have Spidey number 7
and 4 pounds of rutabaga.
And 4 pounds of rutabaga. So anyway, these gentlemen, the fine gentlemen here, sent me Winter, W-Y-N-T-E-R.
Yes.
Story of Liz Winter, the kind of hero.
Right.
In comic, and it's a futuristic tale. It's sci-fi.
Yes.
And the galaxy is populated with a million planets that are populated by Earth, by Earthlings. And they're all under one empire, and then everybody is. There's so many people that everybody, everything's
so it's a
been done
huge
by everybody.
Universe kind of thing. Yeah,
everybody's the same. It's all generic.
Right.
One person dreams of being special.
Okay. Right.
And of course, the system is out
to get
prove
yes.
that nobody's special.
Nobody's special.
Right.
Gotcha.
And so it was really, really good.
Oh, awesome!
I don't say that about comics
so
much, but I really enjoyed reading comics. I do, but
okay.
not enough.
Okay, well, fair
right?
enough.
But
right.
I read this especially, so,
and it was really good.
And it was really, really
awesome.
Well done.
Awesome.
Intelligent,
yep.
good writing, good
awesome.
Art,
awesome.
But thought provoking.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the key to a concept like this.
And this is this is something that you read online.
Online. So, you know what? I'm sorry. I got the email from him, but there's no exact website. I know it's
okay.
on Apple iTunes.
Okay.
If you Googled New World Comics Winter, W-Y-N-T-E-R, you'll definitely be able to find it. It's exciting stuff. I liked it. Yeah, I mean, listen, I was in a dilemma. I was in a kind of a quandary whether I should talk about this or
right.
not. Right. Because you and I champion the local comic book shop.
True, we do.
And this is online.
Yes.
But I'm going to go, I'm not going to go down that road because hopefully there's success.
You know
and they
what?
Can, they can make a print version.
You never
I
know.
Hope,
that's right.
Like
yep.
That.
You never
but,
know.
Yeah. It was really well done. The guys over at New World Comics have a winner here with their Winter. Go online. Check it out.
Awesome. And, you know, we really do like to champion, although we like to champion the local comic book shop, we're, of course, championing comics in general,
comic
and creativity,
yeah.
and anything new that comes
yeah.
out.
And this is good. So
awesome.
It deserves discussion. And it deserves a look.
All right. That sounds good. Now, listen, to our listening audience, unfortunately, we do not have music today. All right. Well, that's good enough of that.
Okay.
We're going to go straight into industry news. And industry news is brought to you by comics from other countries.
Mm.
They can be good.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Listen. Well, you brought us to...
going off on a tangent.
Okay.
Okay.
This is off the tangential
off
of you.
On a tangent. Comic books, superhero comic books, are an American art form.
Yes.
Are an American invention, an American medium, an American a form of expression.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know about you, but... let's say other American forms of expression.
Okay, yeah.
Like whether it's music, let's say jazz music.
Jazz, right? So jazz, so our Harlan Ellison once said that there are five things that are uniquely American to.
Blues?
I don't remember
jazz?
Blues. Jazz for sure. The banjo.
The banjo.
Yeah. yeah, so there's.
Comic books.
He said comic books was,
yeah,
was one of
comic
them.
Comic books was one of them.
Yeah.
So, noir, film noir, perhaps. So anyway, I absolutely forgot where I'm going with this, but let me plod along. So, you know how there are elitists, you know, there are elitists that think, oh, you have to be a black man from the Mississippi Delta
right.
to actually play the blues.
Right, right.
And there are so many young British guys that in the 60s that proved that wrong. It's a different type of blues.
Yep, yep.
But it's still good blues.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so, and even John Lee Hooker, one of my favorite blues men, once had, what the heck are they called? They're the band there. On the road again. Go to the country.
Folk music. Folk
anyway, music. There's a band of people will know.
Country. Go.
Anyway, the guy that sung that is he had a nickname Blind Owl.
Okay.
Yeah, his last name is Wilson, White Beach Boy from from California type, right?
Okay.
And John Lee Hooker once, because they played backup to John Lee Hooker on an album.
Okay.
That band. Can't Heat.
Canned Heat. That's what the name of it? Okay.
Yes. That's the name of the band.
Oh, okay.
And John Lee Hooker said, I haven't heard the harp, the accordion. You know, they call it the harp.
The harp accordion. He's talking about
like, you know, like the...
they talk about the mouth organ.
Mouth organ.
Yeah, the harmonica.
They call it harmonica, The harp. Because I haven't heard a guy play the harp like this.
Oh, interesting.
With the feel, with that Delta blues sound.
Here's
a white kid from California.
Right.
My point is, you know what?
It doesn't have to be...
outside of the U.S. could take a U.S. median and make it just as good or better.
Right.
Did I go way out from there?
Sort of. That's okay, but that's okay.
That's what I'm here for.
You know what? You did a great job.
Thank you.
And I completely agree with you. You know what? Mm-hmm. American superhero comics, right? Because there's other countries that celebrate comic books, but not necessarily the way we celebrate superhero comic books. But you don't have
most
to,
famously the Europeans with their Tintin and Asterix and Obelix
or anything from Mobius
or the sci-fi type stuff like Dylan Dog right.
Absolutely, lots of great stuff out there, but I mean really they never got into the superhero stuff the way Americans did,
right
and I think part of that is because for whatever reason North America likes to do the same stuff over and over again, right? We like our soap operas, whereas in European comics, a lot of them are sort of, they have their storylines and then they're sort of done.
Right.
You know, even though Tintin ran for a number of years, Asterix ran for a number of years, but I mean, like, nobody else did Asterix besides...
the creators.
The creators, yes. Right? Nobody else did Tintin except for Hergé.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's not like there's some sort of corporate conglomerate that said, okay, well, we've got Tintin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once this guy's dead, we're going to get somebody else to do him.
Right.
And then
or while he's alive,
dead.
Let's get 17 other people.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Wow.
Right. So completely off topic there, but I completely agree with you.
Okay, whatever you and I just decided, though, is really, really, really important. mind open.
Okay, listen. Speaking of comics, we are here to talk about comic books.
Sure are.
And we talked about DC earlier today, and DC is pulling another fast one, canceling six of their titles.
Six.
But you know what? I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. They're canceling. Oh, the first one's a shocker. Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. They're canceling Birds of Prey. Hold on. Back up for a second.
Beep beep. Beep, beep.
Birds of Prey is the one with all the hot chicks in there, right?
Traditionally, yes.
Right.
Yes. Although there's another hot. World's Finest, which has Power Girl and Huntress in it. Also hot chicks in comics. If that's your thing. If it's not, then.
No.
You know,
I would.
But, you know what? They're not selling very many copies of these things. Right. You know, August sold. Is it August? No. Hold on. I can't remember. Oh, numbers for April. That's what it was. April. In April, they only sold 16,000 copies of Birds of Prey. They're canceling Superboy. Only 15,000 copies of that. Trinity of Sin Pandora and Trinity of Sin The Phantom Stranger each only sold 14 and 15,000 ish, roughly.
I'm surprised those sold that much.
I know, eh? All Star Western. I feel badly about that. There's a lot of Jonah Hex fans out there that like that stuff. But you know what? Not enough. Only 12.
But there's another guy. Remember we were talking about earlier about a guy
who
were popular and then they fell by the wayside and they're trying to get resurrected. And Jonah Hex never caught on.
No.
Right?
No.
Jonah Hex is another Magnus. Yeah. Magnus Hex.
Magnus Hex.
Jonah Magnus.
Yep.
Right?
Like
it's just
that.
Like the same thing. Right?
Well, look at a character like Metamorpho.
Metamorpho.
Metamorpho was huge back in the day.
60s.
Back in the 60s, mm-hmm. early 70s. Had a song about him.
Yeah.
You know, and try to sell a Metamorpho comic now. Try to make a Metamorpho comic now. Never got a dinner. You know?
Problem is Metamorpho is in the canon of DC Comics. Metamorpho spent time in shared pages and panels with the likes of Batman and Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Was penned, I'm sorry, penciled by the likes of Neil Adams.
Yeah.
And penned by the likes of, I don't know any DC writers.
Julius Schwartz, probably,
whatever. But the point is they can't just let him go. They can't just discard him. They can't just say, you know, Metamorpho is no more.
Yeah.
Right? And but technically he is no more.
Yeah, nobody cares about him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And apparently DC is recognizing about these other books that nobody cares about because they're canceling them.
Yeah, so Batwing. I'm looking at Batwing. 9,000.
Okay, not even 10,000 copies sold of Batwing.
You and
April.
I could write a comic that could sell 9,000.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Okay, I could.
Okay, listen. Here's my question to you, though, Mr. I Own a Comic Book Store.
Yeah.
Should people be buying up these issues? Because could they be scarce years from now? You know, 9,000 copies of a comic book?
I know. Here's the problem with scarcity. Scarcity only works if it's propelled, or if it's accompanied with demand.
Right.
You know, demand is the adverse, that doesn't make sense, but to scarcity. So you know, trying to find Lassie number 23 from 1957.
Right.
Which is wrong. If I ever found one, you know, there might be a couple hundred laying around, but there's like four people looking for it,
right?
So it doesn't matter,
right.
So, you know, and the best example of that, of course, is New Mutants number 98, first appearance of Deadpool. There are hundreds of thousands of copies of that around, and yet the book still commands a couple hundred bucks,
right?
Because there are 100,000 on top of that, people looking for them.
Who want them, yeah.
Right. So,
find them back. But here's my question to you, though. So, of recent years, we talked about this a little while ago, you and I. Of recent years, it seems like some of the more popular comics and the harder comics to get are the ones that are coming out in the past few years.
Yes.
You know, people want to try to finish their recent runs.
Yes.
So, they go to these shops and they say, do you have Batwing from January. Batwing, I don't know, whatever, number 16.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's like, no, I haven't got it. No,
of course, I bought one extra copy for the shelf because it's a slow seller.
And I used it for toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, birdcage.
Yeah,
birdcage.
Yeah. So, you know, how do we know, is there any way of knowing which ones of these to buy if they're going to be scarce?
Yeah, you know what? My only recommendation would be to buy the ones, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, the key to collectability is continuity.
Right.
Right. So, you know, which of the new 52 titles will make number 100?
Right.
And because you can draw a linear line back to number one, it's when it's out of sight, it's out of mind.
But here's
For example, which Wolverine number one do you want to collect?
Okay, exactly, yeah.
There are seven of them.
Yeah, eight, multiple.
Nine?
Okay, so you say, you know, is it going to make it to 100? None of these comics might not make it to 100 because they might not publish them until they're 100. They might decide
My point is, at this moment, the most collectible DC titles are like Batman and Detective.
Okay, you know, I know we're spending a lot of time on this, but are they even worth collecting for prosperity's sake?
I think the Batman one for sure is.
Yeah? So
try to get, I think it's up to 30, 31, 32, whatever it is.
Okay.
Try to get a run now. Try to get a run
difficult?
Of Batman.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
All right. So even though, so for those people out there who are like, you know, hey, I want to start buying comic books. You know, maybe Batman is.
But Batman is difficult, but it's doable. It's not like collecting Batman, the old Batman from 1940.
Well, no,
right?
Yeah.
You need like millions of dollars or $1 million to collect.
But
that
if somebody
run.
Wanted to start buying comics now that were relatively inexpensive of the modern age, you're saying that perhaps the first 20 issues of Batman, of the new Batman, the new 52 Batman, would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think, out of DC, I would choose Batman, and perhaps second would be JLA.
What about, like, Harley Quinn or, you know...
Harley Quinn, I wouldn't collect the runs. I would collect specific issues that are important.
There are some?
Covers sell.
Okay.
Right? So you take the most eye-striking or iconic cover out. And grab that cover, right?
Okay.
And grab a couple issues of that cover.
Yeah.
Covers always sell.
Yeah.
The cover appeal. The Harley Quinn with the one with the biggest boobs on it. Grab that one for sure.
You know, I'm laughing, but I know you're not really joking.
I know. That's the problem. Yeah. But it's a tough call these days. The best bet, the way to prosperity these days is the chance you take it won't happen through DC and Marvel per se. It'll happen through the smaller press guys
right.
that are coming up with new properties.
Yeah, yeah.
New properties is the key because Batman number one, Wolverine number one, the next rendition of whatever number one will just be a relaunch of an existing character that's been around for decades.
Right.
Right. So the way to riches is to tap into that new chew, that new
Walking Dead.
You get a company
Saga.
Like Image or somebody where they're a creator-owned new concept comes up number one, and it's like within 2 years, it's like, oh my god, that's a great idea. There's a movie coming.
Right.
Well, then now everybody wants the.
Sure. But that can backfire as well. Let's not forget that there was a time when the Men in Black comics, which was the precursor to the Men in Black movies, everybody wanted those, and I'm sure you can now buy those for.
Yeah. Dime a dozen.
Yeah. Listen, you know what? We have spent a lot of time.
Way too much time
on that. Listen. Conan.
Ah,
what is best in life?
A sequel.
Conan date and poster. Legend of Conan will crush his enemies. Christmas 2015.
So we talked about this half a year ago.
Yeah.
There was news of Arnold reprising his role as Conan, as King Conan, as the old Conan.
Nice.
King of Aquilonia.
Yeah, look at you with all the big words.
Sure. And then it kind of fell off the radar.
Yeah.
And at cons, this resurfaced, this poster came out, which shows kind of Arnold as an aged king. And I guess they're out trying to drum up cash.
Money.
To make this Conan. And a couple things that are working against this movie.
Okay, what's that?
One is the last Conan tanked. Arnold wasn't in it.
Okay? Right.
But the last Conan tanked.
It did.
And two is the last Arnold movie tanked. That one he did last year.
Yeah.
It
but
absolutely
you know what?
Tanked.
But you know what?
So now do you back a property that's tanking and a star that's had his day?
Yeah.
You know,
but do you back a movie that stars Conan? Sorry, that stars Arnold as Conan, which was a guaranteed moneymaker back in the day.
I know, but the thing though is two things have happened. Arnold's star has fallen. Conan's star has fallen.
Right.
But perhaps Arnold and Conan together can buck that trend.
Yeah.
But do you have $100 million? To bet on
I do not.
Neither
okay,
do
but if you did,
I don't know if I would bet on
let's
it.
Let's say
I don't
you
know.
Were a multimillionaire and they wanted let's say you had $100 million.
Yes.
Okay, and they wanted $5 million. Mm-hmm. Would you give them $5 million to bet on that? To help
only
that?
If Arnold would come to my house and make me breakfast
as Conan.
Yes.
What is best in life?
After your eggs are ready.
Breakfast in bed.
Yes.
All right. Listen.
Arnold, please just leave it at the door.
Yeah. Please get out.
Yeah, please get out. All right. I'm going to shower.
Okay. Well, listen.
So anyway, I want this Arnold movie to be made.
I do too.
But I'm worried that money will stay away.
Somebody with lots of money will end up backing this movie, and I have a feeling it will get made.
All right, good.
When I first started, for a long time now, in the comic book industry, I have enjoyed buying comic book art when I can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Going to conventions and getting sketches and things like that were always a great pastime of mine.
Mm-hmm.
In the past few years, I've been buying less and less because it is starting to outprice my budget. You know,
yes.
Even back when I used to be able to get a sketch for $20-$25, now they're $100, $200, $300, $400. Now, granted, some of the sketches are more like watercolor pieces of artwork, like full pieces of artwork, right? So you seem to be getting more bang for your buck than you, like back in the day it was just a quick sketch for $20.
Yeah.
Now you can buy a full color watercolor piece of artwork for $400.
Mm-hmm.
However, it seems to me that original comic book artwork is still taking off in the collectible market.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Now, why do I say this?
Why do you say that?
That's a great question. Well, recently, the final page of Incredible Hulk number 180 sold for $657,250.
That's a lot of money for...
It's a lot of money for a piece of artwork.
Piece of artwork.
It's a lot of money for a piece of artwork. Anywhere, let
alone a lot of money for a piece
artwork.
Of anything.
Yes, really, yeah, really is. Now, you were talking to me about this piece of artwork earlier. Now, this is of course, now, Hulk 181 is the definitive first appearance of Wolverine.
Yes.
This is a comic page from Hulk 180. Now,
well, back
why
then,
is this popular?
Well, back then, what happens is at the end of each story, Hulk or whoever defeats his villain. And then in
right.
the last kind of page, last panel, you kind of see the new villain he's going
to
face
the
next
like
issue.
To entice
yeah.
the readers for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what? You handle that guy, but you got Wolverine to take care of
right
now.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, next issue, Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, that kind of thing. So, takes up about a good over a quarter of the page.
Right.
Very prominent panel. And it's obviously, when you think about this, it's one of a kind.
Yeah.
Okay. It is the first kind of pop culture historical document that represents the character Wolverine.
Right.
One of a kind.
Right.
Wolverine's a massive, important character
yep.
in pop culture.
Yep.
This small piece of paper, 11 by 17, whatever it is, represents the first introduction ever of this
yeah.
character
yeah.
to
yeah.
the pop culture world. So it's obviously an in-demand
right,
piece
right.
of art.
Now, right. now I'm not debating that it's uh-huh. in demand. But my question to you is, actually, I'm going to say, is $657,000 the right price?
I don't know. I think it may be.
Yeah.
And here's the dilemma I have with this.
Is it too little? Is it too much? I don't know.
Too much, too little, too late to try to ease the pain.
Okay. Considering this,
yes.
The splash page from Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns sold recently, a few years ago, for $448,000. And now all of a sudden we've got this comic page selling for $657,000.
Well, great point. And this is where I'm going to get to, and this is new ground and new territory that you and I are exploring in pop culture.
Yes.
I don't think anybody on any podcast or any radio show has touched upon this subject that you and I are about to touch upon.
All right, go for
that's
it.
That's how cutting edge
I
are.
That's what they talk about when we talk about our show.
Exactly.
Cutting edge.
Cutting edge.
I think more like cutting on the editing floor. But
yes.
Anyways, yeah.
Okay, so what were we talking about?
No,
I got it.
Yeah,
I can pick it up from here.
Okay.
So, art has always been driven, per se, art.
Yes.
By the artist.
Yes.
Okay? You take a fresco.
A fresco?
Sure.
I like a little fresco with
yeah,
my gin.
From the 17th century or whatever, and the value is dependent on who draw it.
Okay.
Who drew it.
Draw it.
You take a scene from the Seine River. In the 1800s, or a pond in France, you know, and my point is if Monet drew it,
yeah,
versus Chonet, the value is there.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand
so let
what
me
you're
get
saying.
To my point here. Now, there are more accomplished comic book artists.
Right.
There are artists that had no right drawing comics that were drawing comics, like Frank Frazetta.
Right.
The talent was too big for the comic
Absolutely,
book.
Absolutely,
okay?
Yes.
And there are artists that hit the comic book art form to the absolute limits.
Right.
Your
Buscema, Kirby,
your Kirby's, your
John Romita,
Adams, you guys like that, right?
Yeah.
Starenko's.
Yeah. Adams. Oh, sorry, I said that.
But then, here's where you throw something else into the mix. You take your Herb Trimps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Journeyman.
Yep.
Journeyman,
yep.
You know, traded to seven teams, shortstop, batted 240 career. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's 19-year career.
Yeah.
You know, not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Right? He penciled, though, the introduction of a character that is beyond important in
That's
the
right.
world.
Yeah.
So now what pop culture brings to the art world that nothing else brings to the art world
yeah.
is this trepidation. That's
yes,
the wrong word
yes,
for that.
Yes, it
thing.
Is, but that's
But
what...
is this dilemma?
Yeah.
Is this weighing?
Yeah, yeah.
Is now the character that Herb Trimpe drew
right.
usurps the artist.
Great point.
That thing that you mentioned with Frank Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all about Frank Miller.
Right.
And Batman has been drawn 700 times. 7,000.
70,000.
There's 70,000 pages of Batman art.
Yeah.
Before that Batman art.
Yeah.
But they liked it because Frank Miller did it, and it was
right.
the definitive Batman in the definitive story of Batman that Frank Miller reinvented Batman.
Yeah.
So, Herb Trimpe. Sorry.
A nobody.
Not a nobody.
Not a nobody.
A journeyman.
Like
a workhorse.
Yeah, yeah.
A stalwart, steady guy
yeah.
that worked in
Salary,
the trenches
40,
for Marvel.
40-hour
yeah,
work week for Marvel.
He
yeah.
draws this, and by luck, circumstance, happenstance,
yeah.
he draws one of the most important pages of comic history.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So now this now holds the record for the most value ever by an art thing.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the artist.
No.
This is groundbreaking. This
is
revolutionary.
Yeah.
This is something pop culture, comic book culture
we've
can
never
only
seen,
give.
We've never seen this before.
We've never seen this
We've
before.
Never seen this because...
Hey, some schmo on LSD, dropping LSD,
yeah.
Doing Hungry Man dinner cans
yeah.
in 1970 on print.
Yeah.
They're worthless.
Yeah.
But Andy Warhol doing the Campbell's cans.
Yeah, yeah.
Is worth millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's about Warhol.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. But... This is not about Herb Trimpe.
Right.
This is about Wolverine.
Wolverine.
So, I mean, there
That's
are...
That's what comic art can bring that nothing else
there
can bring.
There are hundreds of pages from the Hulk...
Yes.
...that Herb Trimpe has done...
That are worth 50 bucks.
That are worth 50 bucks. 100
bucks.
100 bucks.
100 bucks.
Yeah. 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 It,
now, why is a Herb Trimpe worth $657,000?
Because of Wolverine.
Because of Wolverine.
Yeah.
And that comic art is the only art that can deliver that. For example... What's on the page is
yeah.
more important than the artist.
That's right.
So what... Okay. Okay, I'm thinking.
I don't even know if I can come up with an example that we're...
No, no, no.
Let's, before.
How about the page? It hasn't been for sale yet. But how about, let's say, the page
yeah.
from Spidey 121. Just the page
okay.
where Gwen Stacy dies.
Right.
That page.
Right.
Versus all the other pages. Now, I know it's Romita, and Romita is a renowned artist as well.
Right.
But compare that page in value to the page before it and the page after.
Right. It's going to be worth more.
I'm not even double. Like,
yeah, like
quadruple, quintuple.
10 times.
10 times.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So, and that's what comic book art can bring.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
It's
yeah.
insane. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I loved this, this. I don't know, this...
Phenomenon.
This happening.
Phenomenon.
But
no,
you know what?
It's a great point. It's
yeah.
a very great point, because you know what? You're absolutely right. This has not happened. Normally, art is bought and sold based on the artist and the quality of the art in that piece of artwork.
Right.
Whereas this has nothing to do with that.
What other art, original art, is not based on the artist?
Yeah, it's a great point. Great point. This is based purely on pop culture speculation.
Yeah. It's based on the content of the page.
Yeah.
Irregardly, as my brother would say. Regardless.
Yeah.
Of who drew it.
Now, okay. Here, I'm going to back it up. Beep,
beep.
Just a little bit.
Beep.
Now, Herb Trimpe, Journeyman artist. What if it was somebody not Herb Trimpe? Yeah. Would it be... I mean, Herb Trimpe... We can't say he's a nobody. He's not a nobody.
Right.
He's been around for a long time.
So you're saying, what if it was Kirby, or what if it was...
What if it was Kirby?
Joel Vasquale.
Yes,
who
exactly.
Drew 7 pages.
What if it was a ghost artist that we don't even know about?
What if it was Vince Marchesano?
It could have been Vince Marchesano. We don't even know.
You know, drawn for Rich Buckley.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And but the problem is, that's not a problem at all. Vince would
we
have
would
done
never
a great
know,
job.
For one, we would never know.
Yeah, well, Vince would have told us.
Yeah, sure. Well, okay, yeah.
But
let's
it
say,
would be worth the same.
Let's say
it's, my point, it would be worth the same.
Okay, what if it was John Buscema?
Yeah.
Would it be worth more?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Right?
I
because
don't know. But that's where I'm saying is the character totally outweighs the artist. I don't
yeah.
know if it was worth more, I would say maybe 10% more.
Mm. Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
If it was Frazetta, maybe 20%.
Okay, more. Okay. So here's my question to you then. Here's my question to you. X-Force number 98,
mm-hmm.
Rob Liefeld,
mm-hmm.
first appearance of Deadpool. Let's
yes.
say we see that page.
Yes.
I can't imagine it's going to get any $657,000. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there are a lot of people that do not like Rob Liefeld.
It won't get $657,000 for the sole reason that Deadpool is not the Wolverine.
Okay.
Okay, they're both one-of-a-kind items.
Right.
Okay, Deadpool is popular. It will get north of $100,000. I guarantee you that.
But Rob Liefeld...
$200,000.
Rob Liefeld is not the artist Herb Trimpe was.
My point is, it's irrelevant.
Okay, well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
like,
it's irrelevant. It's about Deadpool.
Right, okay.
It's about Wolverine.
All right, fair enough. It's an amazing phenomenon.
Amazing.
Yeah. Buying based purely on... I don't want to say purely, because Herb Trimpe was not, you know, a nobody.
But Herb Trimpe isn't a $650,000 comic art piece.
No, he's not, because all the other issues he's done, they're not getting that art.
Absolute classic Jack Kirby splash pages from Fantastic Four,
don't get
cover
that.
Pages,
yeah.
They get $80,000, $90,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's like the king of comics.
Yeah.
Right? This Herb Trimpe page gets $650,000.
Craziness.
Yes.
Craziness. All right, listen.
Exciting times.
Let's keep on talking here.
Let's keep on keeping on.
Keep on grooving. Do to beat it, beat up. Okay, listen. Godzilla. From out of the depths of
Godzilla.
All right, listen. Godzilla opened up this last weekend. You know, I knew it was going to do well. I really did not think it would do this well. Crushed.
This is my imitation of Mothra.
Sounds an awful lot like your Chewbacca. Listen, Godzilla crushed, stomps, obliterated the competition this weekend at earning a weekend gross of $93.2 million. The next closest one was Neighbors at $25 million, not almost $26 million. And then Spider-Man was a lagging third at 16, and it just goes on.
You
and on
lagger.
You know, Cap. You know what?
Godzilla opened second this year to
Captain America, Winter Soldier,
which just only pipped at $95 million.
Yeah, it was very, very close. Now,
yeah.
however, having said that, Captain America still is number 8, even though it was how many weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and it still made $3.7 million.
Yeah, I noticed the domestic take is at a quarter bill already.
Yeah.
That's
nice. $250 million, yeah.
But, you know what? Spidey isn't lagging either. $172 million
no, it's done
after
very well.
3 weeks.
Yeah, it's done very
that's
well.
That's really well.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, that's 4 more weeks. It could pump out another $80 million.
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
Well, maybe not.
You know, now
it'd be close.
Here's the thing. Now that Godzilla's out, I doubt people are going to go see Spider-Man, and certainly with X-Men Days of Future Past coming up next week.
Well, that's kind of the punchline of this story, this article that we're reading, is that the guys in the know here with the movie stuff, they're speculating on will the popularity and the strength of Godzilla hurt Days of Future Past, because usually if it opens that strong,
it's got
a bit of legs for the weekend two.
Yeah,
will
for sure.
Weekend two of Godzilla bite into the money that was supposed to be allocated?
I think it will a little bit. I think it will. You know why? Here's why.
Why? Here's why. Tell me why. Tell me why.
Tell me why. Tell me, sweet little why. Here's why. Because next week, when X-Men
debuts... We're different songs.
I know. Okay. I know. That was just a joke. When X-Men debuts next week, there are going to be people that will say, I don't want to go wait in line for forever to go see X-Men. Let's go see Godzilla instead.
Right.
That's how it's going to bite into the competition, yeah, because people can't be bothered to wait into the lines. They'll say, I'm going to wait for the hype to die down a couple of weeks, then I'll go see it.
Then perhaps the measure of a movie, I mean, everybody puts the emphasis on opening weekend.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's opening month.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is, totally. Hey,
tell me the date.
After a month.
After 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I'll be impressed. You know, you blow the wad at... You know, sometimes word of mouth catches on to a movie.
Yep.
So, you know, they open at, you know, what they would be a disappointing $78 million or whatever. But
yep.
They say, hey, this is a good movie, man. You got to go see
it.
And
then,
you know, weekend two is like 49% rather than 29%. Weekend three is, you know, and so I just.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has, so, yeah, everybody's just like, hey, what did it do in the first 3 days?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Disappointment.
Forget it.
Oh, it's awesome.
They write it off.
Yeah,
right?
And then
yeah.
It blew a whole lot in the first 3 days.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think everybody was talking about Days of Future Past.
Everybody's
waiting for this movie.
Yes.
I think it's going to be the best of the X-Men movies.
I agree completely.
And I think it's going to do the best of the X-Men movies, too.
Now, do you think it's going to be better than Captain America the Winter Soldier? And do you think it's going to make more money than Captain America the Winter
Soldier? You know what? Captain America the Winter Soldier is a movie I really want to go see. I haven't checked it out yet.
Okay.
I've heard so many good things about
so
it.
So good.
One
such a good movie. Yeah.
So I can't say whether it's going to be better than that or not. I think the X-Men property has more popular support than Captain America.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
So that has the potential over the long term to do better. But boy, Cap is gaining ground so fast.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And you and I, being old comic guys.
Yeah, love it.
You and I, though, have Cap pegged as a B-lister still that's just breaking out. You know, I don't know, since the Avengers, since the first Cap movie, all the 12, 15, 18-year-olds that are going, they don't see Cap as a B-lister.
No.
You and I see him as a B-lister. Just trying to bust
out. You know
out.
What's funny is... you know, I see all this Iron Man paraphernalia. Like in the, you go to the toy store, and you see all kinds of Iron Man stuff, and you see like Iron Man graphic novels and Iron Man toys and mugs and stuff.
That used to be Spider-Man.
Exactly.
And Hulk
you know,
and Batman.
And it's hard for me to even imagine that somebody would want an Iron Man, you know, fist coming out of the wall kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like whereas. You know, okay, Spider-Man, you know, sure, web-slinging or something, or Hulk fist coming in through a wall. Nobody in their right mind ever wanted a Captain America shield.
That's right, but that's you and me.
Yeah.
That's our old way of thinking. We gotta shun that. We gotta, what do you say, throw it off our back.
Yeah, that's true.
Get
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
right?
it's but it's funny, though, right? Because we keep on thinking about all this stuff, and I think, I talk about this stuff as if nobody cares about it still to some of my friends.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, yeah, Captain America's awesome. I'm like, really? Like, 5 years ago, nobody knew who Captain America was.
Right on.
Anyways.
Hey, listen, best of luck to X-Men Days of Future Past opening this coming weekend.
Yep.
Hey, this coming weekend, we're assigning you, the listener here at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, we're sending you two important tasks. One is to support your local comic book shop.
Of course.
And two is to go out and check the Captain America movie.
Yes. Captain America movie? Or X-Men movie?
Yeah, of course. And maybe check the Captain America
movie. If you haven't already, Walt.
Thanks. All right.
Listen, I know there's another story you want to get to.
Hey, listen, this is exciting, Chris. I found this today and I wanted to share it with you. And let's talk about how crazy pop culture
ridiculous this is.
Let me just quickly read through it so our listeners can hear. Loot Crate hits 100,000 subscribers and it's growing fast. So basically, Loot Crate, a subscriber-based service that sends a box of geek culture merchandise, has now reached 100,000 subscribers. Subscribers subscribe to the service for like a month to 6 months with an auto renewal, so you actually have to cancel.
Yeah.
for anywhere from $11.67 to $13.17 a month, plus $6 shipping and handling. Loot Crate selects 6 to 8 products around a theme each month and ships them to the subscribers. And it could be something like a Bravest Warrior theme or Attack on Titan theme or WizKids Star Wars theme or something like that. $18 million a year trend is generating
is
that
crazy.
Kind of income.
Yeah.
People don't even know what they're getting.
No.
So it's basically, hey, surprise me.
This is like,
hey, just, yeah, here's my $13 plus $6 shipping,
yeah.
$19. I can't wait to see what I'm going to get.
I can't wait to see what garbage I'm going to get.
I'm
going to
get. So 100,000 committed geeks have already signed on to this, and it's growing at 20% per month. And then there was talk, I guess, the speculation in the industry that was going to say that.
Okay, well, hold on.
Right.
Before you get into that,
yeah.
So just to clarify for our listeners, so this is like a wine of the month club kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
where I give you just under $15 a month.
Yeah.
And every once a month, I don't know when, I'm going to get a package on my doorstep.
Or what's coming.
I don't know what it is,
yeah.
but I'm going to get a package on my doorstep, and I'm going to open it up, and it's going to be full of geekdom type stuff.
Stuff.
Whether it be an action figure, or a bobblehead, or a pin,
or
a button,
pin,
or
a button, or
comic book, or whatever it happens to be.
Whatever.
It's going to be valued at roughly just under $15.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. Now, you're saying that at one point, they were thinking about offering stuff for money to people that want to.
What's happening now in the industry is this is like, wow, these guys are onto something brilliant, right? And so there was talk that you and I have a company,
yeah.
and we sell edible Hulk condoms.
Nice.
Right. And we want our edible Hulk condoms
yeah.
in the next geek pack.
Right.
Right. So we're going to go to the geek guys, Loot Crate,
yep.
and say, hey, put our edible Hulk condoms in the next thing. We'll flip you 50 cents per condom.
Right.
So these guys are now in a position maybe to say, hey, we're going to make the full 100% profit on our $13.
Yeah. Yep.
Plus, we're going to make a profit on every single flipping thing that's going into this dumb little mail order.
Yeah.
But the company's saying they're not doing that.
Right. Okay.
Geek Loot Crate is saying that they are not taking solicitations from companies, so they're still picking.
They get to pick what it is going to go.
They're
in
picking
there.
What
and
it is going to go in
it,
there.
They're
going to buy it,
yeah.
and they're going to put it in, and so, they're going to make their mark.
So they're not offering. Nobody's going to solicit. They're probably trying to solicit, but they're not going.
Why? Can you imagine how many people, how many companies are trying
oh,
to
yeah,
get their samples
sure.
into? It's going to 100,000, maybe soon 200,000,
yeah.
soon 1 million geeks a month. Can you imagine how many companies would love to get a sample of their next product
for sure.
in there?
Even if the loot people didn't have to pay for it,
uh-huh.
How great would that be if it's some new product, right?
But the thing though is how long before they will go to the dark side?
But you know what?
Will they go
I,
to the dark
I,
side?
I,
it's hard to resist.
I don't think
something.
So.
No?
I don't think so because then all of a sudden it becomes a sponsoring thing.
Then it would lose its edge.
It would lose its edge,
right.
yeah.
And
I hope
if Loot Crate is listening to us,
yeah.
don't give in because he'll just ruin it, right? Well, what might happen is they might get bought out or something, all the power to them,
very
take
possible.
The money and
yep.
run,
yep.
whatever. But it seems like they've got on. It seems like they've reached the success that they've reached because they're hitting the nerve with each shipment.
Yes.
So each yeah. shipment is good enough for the people not to cancel.
Yeah.
They're surprised.
And
pleasantly
not,
enough to and, say, hey, this is cool.
And they're not getting garbage in it. They're not getting,
right.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's. I read it. I was really happy to read
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I go, wow, this is amazing that
yeah.
Some people can come up with a creative thing like this. What it speaks to me in volumes is the geek culture out there being receptive to new ideas.
Yeah.
Saying,
yeah.
hey, don't just send me the same old, surprise me. I want to see what's new. I want to see what's cool.
But this is tapping in precisely into geek culture because geek culture is becoming so mainstream, geeks want to try to and they want to try to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
So if they're like, hey, if you're going to send me a crate full of stuff that no one's heard about before, I'm in.
I'm in. Because
I want to
be the first.
I want to be the first. Yeah. Right. Interesting. All right, listen. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. All
right, listen. Comic Culture Today was produced by Chris Owen and Walter Duralia. For comments and suggestions, go to comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast and add your comments. Check us out at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and getthepointradio.com.
Go out and support your local comic retailers.
And have yourself a great week.
Take care.